Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, advisor and director of client experience for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highways 164 and F, in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guests today are Kim and M.K. Atchison, who make up Team Atchison from Robertson Ryan Insurance. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about property and casualty insurance, which you two probably don't hear too often that people are excited to talk about that. But I just feel it's such a timely topic with everything that's really going on in the world right now. So before we dive in a little bit too deep, tell me a little bit of how you ladies got into this business.
I started first, and what I was interested in was getting a job in outside sales. I had a number of people that I knew who were taking four-hour lunches, and as a 20-something, new to the workforce, it seemed like a really good idea to me to have an easy job. So I went to a recruiter, and they said, you're too young and inexperienced, but if we can get you hired with an insurance company, and we have one that does a really good job of training, then stay and do that for 6 months, and after that, you'll be 100% more marketable. So I won the job, which I was grateful for, and as I was studying for my licensing, I was like, wow, I didn't know this is how it worked. I didn't know this. And I thought, well, if I go out and at least tell people how insurance works, because I don't think they know, then at least I'll be doing some moral good, and this will get me through those 6 months. And I was successful right out of the chute, and I really think it was that approach. And so if it's not broken, you shouldn't fix it, right? So here I am, how many years later? I'm fortunate enough that my daughter decided to come into the business after working in insurance, but not in a sales capacity. And so I like to say she's my path to retirement someday.
Yeah, the joke when you grow up with somebody who works in insurance is always that you would never then grow up and work in insurance.
Sure. Would want it's to the same in financial planning.
Exactly. So that was something I never particularly wanted to do. But when your parent is in the industry, you start going, well, this could be interesting. So after college, I took an internship in underwriting, and then I moved back to Wisconsin for a job in underwriting, and I was doing that for almost 5 years. And then I was, approached by my mom to be her potential path to retirement and try things kind of on the other side of the fence. And I love the sales side. It is so much more fun to say yes to people than to say no as an underwriter. So it's been wonderful kind of learning this side of things.
Well, I love that you two are a family-owned and a female-owned business that resonates with us very much with people that we do business with. One thing that you said, Kim, that I just want to circle back on that I love, because I don't hear it often in the insurance industry, is you talked about educating your clients and helping them to understand. As full-service financial planners, the home and auto insurance are something that we always touch on with our clients as part of the financial plan, making sure that we're protecting what they've saved. Our clients are naturally more risk-averse, so property and casualty insurance is a really important piece of the overall plan, but very few clients actually understand their policies and understand that what would happen if they had to use those policies. Can you share with me just a little bit of how you go about educating your clients?
Absolutely. It's probably one of the things that we're most proud of, because it's our system and the way that we inform people, like many things, it's a work in progress. But it isn't unusual for a client to call and want a quote, and they will say, I want an apples to apples quote. And I will say, you know, I'm not really going to reproduce somebody's bad work. We're going to talk through your situation and what's important to you, and I'm going to get a sense of that. And then we're going to put together a program that we think will meet your needs. And we're going to put everything that's available in there, or we're going to mention it so that we have a conversation about it. So at the end of that whole experience, where we've gone through things line by line, you will be able to make an informed decision about what you want to do with your insurance. And that's the only way. Not my decision, not what I think you want. We're going to have a discussion. You're going to understand those choices and then pick the things that work best for you. Somewhere along the way, somebody, even two times ago perhaps when you were getting a quote, somebody gave you that apples to apples, and they gave you whatever that other agent thought and that other agent, and on and on and on and on. And it's not reflective of your knowledge of what's available and your decision that that is something that you want. Or do you want to assume that risk, take it on yourself? You know, and that really is what it comes down to. Are you going to take on the risk, or are you going to pass that risk on to the insurance company? And so, by and large, people love that because they do want to be in the driver's seat, and especially now when the consumer is being squished with inflation and all manner of financial pressures, they want to feel like they can control as much as they can. And that will change. And so we're here, again, in that capacity when they say, well, can we revisit this now? You know, we're in a little bit different place. And really, that's how people go through their lives. When you're buying your first home, that's a lot of financial uncertainty. Am I going to be able to manage this payment? Am I going to be able to buy the furniture for the house that I want? Then you work with people who are later in life, and sometimes it's about wealth preservation. But by and large, you know, they're in a situation where maybe they can take on larger deductibles because they have the money in the bank. They have money in their investments. They're not living paycheck to paycheck. And so in all of that, from one end of the spectrum to the other, an insured making an informed decision, it's their decision, it's reflective of what they want. And then should there be a loss, they're happier with the outcome because there aren't any surprises. These were talked about. Not where you call the agent and you say, hey, I had water in my basement. And the agent says, why, you don't have that coverage. Well, the first thing the client's going to say is, why didn't I? Like, why didn't I know this? We don't want those experiences.
No, I can completely understand that. We get that same question of an apples-to-apples comparison. Oftentimes, we have new potential clients coming in, and they're shopping around. And we encourage clients to shop around because that's how you really figure out what you want and what's a good fit. But we encourage clients to make a fully informed decision by going through our financial planning process. And through that process, I think very similarly with you, Kim and MK, in your business, clients are able to see that difference. They may no longer want an apple. They might want a banana. They might want an orange. But they're in control of really figuring out what's going to fit with their needs the best.
That's exactly right. And what I like to say is shopping, if nothing else, makes you feel better about your decision to stay where you are, whether it's staying with me or it's staying with the other agent.
We often see with homeowners insurance and clients coming in and just saying, well, my prices went up. I'm just looking for the cheapest coverage. But without that educational piece, you're exactly going to be sitting in that situation you mentioned where they don't have coverage for what they think they have coverage for. You know, we're not the cheapest money manager out there either, but we think what you get with us is so much more than what you get from someone out there who's just looking at the investment plan or whatnot. So similarly in the insurance, looking at all of those key lines in that declaration page and understanding what you have is so important.
No, that's exactly right. And we spend a lot of time on the front end with a client, getting us to the point where we can present what we think is going to be the idea that makes sense. MK, being that she's in her first single family home right now, a lot of times will work with
New home buyers, with people who are kind of in the same stage of life that I am. Because it wasn't that long ago that I was also going through and going, okay, now that I'm moving into a house, how do I want to, what deductible do I want for the roof? You know, how much water coverage do I want for my finished basement? I remember viscerally what that was like. And it's, you know, my mom with more experience, more life experience under her belt will.
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked about how you go about it, and we really believe that if you spend the time in the beginning to get a first-time home buyer comfortable with how this all works together, the expectations are much more reasonable. They understand how it works, and, right, it is always easier to pay for something that you understand than paying money for something that you don't understand. You don't know how you're going to be benefiting from this. And that is priceless.
Because absolutely.
MK and I, truthfully, don't like to pay our insurance premiums any more than anybody else.
Very true.
Well, that was very insightful, and I appreciate that background you ladies were able to provide. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back more with Kim and MK from Atchison Team Insurance after this break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Advisor and Director of Client Experience here at Ellenbecker Investment Group. I have two guests with me today, Kim and MK Atchison, who make up the Atchison team at Robertson Ryan Insurance. Today we're talking about property and casualty insurance and how important that is to an overall plan. Ladies, before the break, you were so great at sharing with me a little bit of how you got into the business and how you work with your clients and how you view what insurance can bring to the relationship. But share with me a little bit of what your business process is like. Where do you start with clients?
Well, generally speaking, and we've been blessed for decades, my business has been all referrals. So it doesn't get easier than that. You are working with people who like what you do, and they tell other people like themselves, and so it turns out very, very good. But by and large, people will come to us, and when you want to get a quote for insurance, you really have two choices. There are direct writers, and those are the State Farms, the American Families, the Allstates, and that is the company that they represent. That's all that they have. And then there's the independent agent system, and we're a part of that, and we represent multiple companies. I like to say that a direct writer has a sweet spot, and as an example, let's say that State Farm likes circles. And when you own a home in the suburbs and you're a young married couple with a clean driving record and good credit, you are a circle. But then you go on your merry little way and you have children who become drivers, who've had a couple speeding tickets, and now you're not a circle anymore. Maybe you're more of a square. And then maybe you buy a property in northern Wisconsin where there is not any fire protection, and you are a hexagon at best. And so the way that a direct writer shows you that you're no longer in their sweet spot is by increasing your price or perhaps not continuing your insurance. And then you, as a client, are forced to go out and establish another relationship because you're not a good fit there any longer. With an independent agent, we have companies that want every flavor or every shape that there is out there. And so if you find that who you're dealing with the independent side, you don't like them or they don't like you, you don't have to establish another relationship. You pick up the phone and say, Kim or MK, can you please shop my insurance? We have all the information, and we're able to do that seamlessly. And yeah. Sometimes we have to parse things out to different carriers to make it be a fully affordable program that makes sense.
Yeah, I would tell you that a lot of times when we have clients who have been with direct writers and they start talking to us, the sentiment is, oh, I've been with this company for so long. Like, I've been with State Farm for 15 years, and, you know, they've always treated me well. And maybe these people have even had different agents within State Farm. But it feels like, for them, the relationship is with that company. When we have people who are with independent agents, and, you know, our own clients, it's the relationship is with us. We get to be the go-to. If you have a problem with billing, if you have a problem with a claim, you can call us. We're the people that go and then talk to the companies. And just like my mom was saying, if you don't like the company that you're with for whatever reason, we get to switch you, but we can maintain that relationship. And that's really a nice piece of it, just because there might be, you know, a problem with, you know, between the client and the company. It doesn't mean that the relationship with us as the agent has to be any worse for wear. We get to still be the advisor.
Right. So it sounds to me like you ladies are really not so much in the insurance business, but in the relationship business.
Very much so.
Which I think is really key for helping investors, clients, figure out what their needs are and meet those needs.
It's very true. MK came across somebody who said something that resonated with me. And I think it was somebody else that was in sales. And he said, oh, I don't close sales. I open relationships. And we felt like that really represents what we do.
Well, I think that's key. You know, Karen Ellenbecker has always said that we want to be like that family recipe that gets passed down from generation to generation, that is so special and feels like it's part of the family. MK, one of the things you said today when we were just chatting a little bit before the radio show was, I don't think I could have focused on this interview earlier this week with everything going on with the hurricanes that the South has seen back to back. And that was just so unique coming from a property and casualty insurance specialist, because other specialists I've talked to in the past would have been like, oh, it's going to be so much work to file all these claims and do this. And that's not where you were headed with that comment at all. It was, I'm calling all my clients. I'm checking on them. I'm making sure everyone's okay.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't get with some of the bigger insurance places. You just don't get that personal relationship. You know, we often get asked here at Ellenbecker, well, how big do you guys want to grow? You know, how many clients do you want to work with? And our answer is, we never want to work with more clients than we can personally know every single one of them. The clients I work with, I can tell you where their last vacation was. I can tell you the names of their pets. They know the names of my kids. We have those conversations. So having that personal relationship makes it so much easier for you to help them find the right solution that they need to fit their life.
It does. You know, one of my favorite remarks to my clients are, you don't have anything. Sometimes I have to deliver some bad news or something that may not be going their first choice of ways. And I said, you know what? We've got this. We'll take care of it. You don't need to worry. I do that for you. I worry for you. When I tell you you have something to worry about, know that you have something to worry about. And I think that sometimes clients may not know how much outside of work we're talking or where we're. I mean, MK is getting married in
9 days.
9 days.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we had picked people up at the airport at O'Hare. Our international people arrived yesterday. We've got this thing going on. We're trying to, you know, it's like 8:30 at night. We're trying to grab a bite to eat because that's how long it took to get back. And my phone started ringing with the hurricane stuff. And I was like, well, I have to excuse myself and have to go take care of this. That's what it is.
And it was the last thing that you texted me about before I think we both shut our eyes to go to bed is this flood claim.
And it was the first thing that I woke up and I was like, okay, it's the hamster in the brain running. Like, okay, how do we make this? Where do we... Da, 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 da.
We do. So, yeah, we do think about this, you know, a lot.
If you make a promise to someone to say, I'm going to be there to help you, then I think you have to live up. It's that simple. And that's what we're doing. Again, we're not selling policies, but it's interesting that when I was a direct writer, and so I have a unique background that I have been a direct writer and I've been an independent agent, I was speaking at a sales training class, and I said, you know, we're in the business of helping people. When MK was, I think, in the third grade, somebody got the short straw, and the insurance lady had to go in and talk about career day. And I was like, how do you tell a third grade class what it is you do? And I said, well, if somebody steals your bike, I bring the check to your parents so they can buy you a new bike. And if somebody's house burns down, I bring the check so that they can build a brand new house for you. And they seemed to get that. And this lady came up and she said, you know, I've always thought I was selling policies for the other companies that I worked for. I never really thought about it in that way. And I thought, well, there we go. You know, now we've got a different perspective in somebody's head about what this is.
Wonderful. You're changing the insurance industry one client at a time, which is a great place to be.
It is.
I could talk about this for a long time, but we're going to take a quick break and we will be back with more. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, a wealth advisor and director of client experience here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guests today are Kim and MK Atchison. They are a mother-daughter team that works at Robertson Ryan Insurance. And today we've been talking a lot about property and casualty insurance and how you build relationships with clients. So we've talked about the relationship side and how important that is to your business and to helping clients find the right solutions. But share with me now a little bit more of kind of the, I guess, the business side of property and casualty insurance. What's the changing landscape? I keep hearing from clients of, oh, you know, my insurer doesn't want to cover this or they don't want to cover that. What are some of the trends that you're seeing?
Trends beyond increasing rates? You know, people are familiar with the problems that the weather has created in Florida. And for 5 or 6 years, you know, there have been a lot of things written in newspapers and covered about how crazy homeowners' rates are in Florida. Well, the rest of the country is catching up with that now. And the financial pressures for storms, whether it's hail storms, the frequency of hail storms in Wisconsin or Colorado, wildfires now in Colorado in addition to the hail, it is countrywide that people are feeling that financial pressure. And the insurance companies' loss ratios are out of line from where they would like to be. And so they start to use tools to get their arms around that. You want to talk about roofs?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about roofs.
Yes, let's talk about roofs.
You know, especially with, like my mom was saying, the storms that have been getting more and more severe and more frequent in the Midwest. Roofs have been a big place where we've seen the coverage terms change on insurance policies. So one thing that probably, if you're listening to this, maybe you have seen this, you have a different deductible on your policy. You now maybe have a wind and hail deductible. And what that is it's specifically saying if your house is damaged, if your roof is damaged because of wind or because of hail, you might have to pay this higher amount, whether that's 1% or 2%, or whether it's a number like $2,500 or $5,000. Even though for any other claim, like let's say fire, the deductible would be a lower amount, a flat amount. That's one thing that a lot of insurance companies have been doing. But they've also been changing the terms on which they will actually cover and replace the roof. So it used to be that if something happened to your roof, if it was damaged in a storm and all of it was damaged, they would put a brand new roof on there. It didn't matter if your roof was brand new or if it was 25 years old. And that created its own set of problems, which we are now experiencing as all of these effects. So one thing that a lot of companies are doing now is they are creating a roof schedule, and it's going out on every renewal of an insurance policy. So whereas before, maybe your roof would have been 25 years old and you would have gotten a brand new one if there had been a storm, now it's year by year, so maybe for the first 5 years of your roof's life, you'd get it replaced, fully replaced. And then every year after that, it ticks down a percentage. So maybe in year 6, you would get 93% of the roof's value. Year 7, you get 80-something percent of the roof's value. It goes down every year. And this is something that a lot of companies are doing, and it's something that's going out in every new insurance policy and in every renewal, but it's something that you really have to be aware of.
Right. So roofs are being treated like something that depreciates very much the way a car depreciates.
And is it on kind of a 10-year type window like that, as you mentioned, or is it, because when I think of a roof, I think it should last more than 10 years or so. So what happens with someone who has a 15-year roof that needs, you know, replacement and it has either wind or hail damage? Are they not going to get as much coverage for that because the roof is too old?
They almost certainly will not get as much coverage for that. There are if they've got this roof schedule and it's 15 years old, yeah, they're probably, if it were to be damaged, they would get a percentage of the cost, but they wouldn't get the full cost to replace it. Now, if they were trying to change insurance companies, if they were trying to shop their coverage, that brings up a whole different pile of problems.
It does. So that 15-year schedule, if I understand maybe the way you were going with that question, what it would pay on a 15-year roof is different than what would be paid out on an 18-year roof, which is different than a 25-year-old roof. You start to get to the point where you're getting $1,000 or $2,000 towards a new roof. But understand that the roof schedule is not just about storm damage. That is the schedule they're applying for your roof. So even if your house burns, you're not getting a new roof. And I believe that you will find the days of, we have a couple carriers that will give you still guaranteed replacement cost on a roof, but I imagine in MK's lifetime, they'll look back and say, you know, back when I was first a homeowner.
Yes, and my roof is from 1999, so I am keenly aware of these things.
Yeah. So do insurance companies, do they want to cover a roof that's more than 10 years old? Or are homeowners being pressured to put on new roofs at their own expense to kind of get the coverage for that?
There are fewer and fewer companies that will accept roofs that are older. As the landscape has kind of shifted, and it really has these last couple years, insurance companies have changed their guidelines. So there are some companies that will not write a roof if it is older than 10 years or it's older than 15 years. And so it might not always be an insurance company that's pressuring them. Sometimes it is. But just as frequently, it's if you want the freedom to choose where you're insured, this is the price that you have to pay is the new roof.
And that really is very eloquently said, because that is how it is. Just you don't have choices if you have an old roof. And old is, unfortunately, it's defined by the insurance industry.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's, you know, everyone wants to talk about 30-year shingles, and it's true. Like, it will probably keep the water out of your house for 30 years. The insurance company does not care.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard exactly that of a client saying, I have a 30-year guaranteed roof, yet my insurance company won't cover it.
Yep, because they're the ones that are going to be paying if and when it doesn't perform.
All right, so roofs are an issue now. What else are you seeing?
Well, we don't like a whole bunch of dogs.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
We have the dog hit list. Pit bulls, of course. And as the industry has gotten their arms around that, if there's any part of a pit bull in that dog, they don't want that. Dog owners generally are aware of that, but now we're finding some of the direct writers have an extra line by their liability coverage, and liability on a homeowner's policy is what would pay out if your dog bit someone. They are now limiting that to like $25,000. And I think people don't necessarily look at that, read that, and understand what they're dealing with regard to that.
There are so many people out there with dogs that are on this insurance list of do not insure, with, you know, pit bulls, with Akitas, with German Shepherds, who are lovely, who are adorable dogs with wonderful personalities. And the insurance company is concerned not with the frequency of bites, but with the potential for severity of bites. Okay. If I could say one thing to everybody listening, that is what they're concerned with. It's the severity. We all know a Chihuahua who's got a little too much energy and is yapping
or
at somebody.
Or some anger issues.
Yeah, that is more accurate. But the Chihuahua is not going to be able to do as much damage with its little jaws as a pit bull is. That's the reason why there's that list.
Yeah,
I would have never even thought of that.
It's, you know, these are the little nuggets that we learn as we go along and we're able to pass on, because I get it. If you have a dog like this that you love, it would be horrible to hear that someone is saying, well, you can't have insurance at X, Y, or Z because you have this dog. But it's not just, you know, it's nothing against pit bulls. Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things that we're seeing on homes that are $1 million or more, their insurance companies are requiring central station monitoring for fire. They want leak detection systems for the water, because truthfully, the industry loses more money on a homeowner's homeowners claims the frequency and severity of water losses are greater than the frequency of fires. Mm-hmm. And so a way to get your arms around that, you know, if you're traveling for a week, and my husband, who's, you know, I like to say he's a little security guy, has had us turn off the water when we go away for an overnight or a weekend all the time. Turn it off at the main so that you don't have a leak that's running. Because I had a client who forgot on their seasonal home to turn off the water, and a hot water pipe hose broke on the dishwasher and ran till the well was dry.
Oh.
And as much water damage as there was, because it was a seasonal home and they weren't there for months, the whole house was covered in mold by the time they opened that door. And so those are catastrophic losses that a leak detection or an automatic shutoff would have taken care of. So we find that the insurance industry is wanting to have you install tools that are going to help you get your arms around the care and maintenance of your home.
Yeah, sure. More safeguards.
Absolutely. Safeguards make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Well, that's super educational for our listeners, for myself. So thank you for sharing, ladies. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, a wealth advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and I've been chatting today with my guests, Kim and M.K. Atchison. They are a mother-daughter team from Robertson Ryan Insurance, and we've been talking today about property and casualty insurance, and ladies, thank you so much for joining. It's been very educational. One of my big questions for the two of you that I hear all the time and often wonder myself is, when should you actually be filing a claim against either your homeowners or your auto insurance? And when should you be looking to kind of self-coverage that expense? I've got a big crack in my windshield right now from a rock that got kicked up from a semi-truck, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as we're waiting for a back-ordered windshield. And the auto company said, it's going to be pricey. You're going to want to file a claim for that. And my husband said, we're not filing a claim for that. Yeah. So what's that rule of thumb? What do you see?
Rule of thumb is such an interesting term, because I would tell you that my answer would be it is different for almost every situation and for every individual. Maybe, 5 years ago, we would have said, okay, do you have full glass coverage on your policy? Is there a deductible when you file a glass claim? Go ahead and, just file that. If there's no deductible, it's not going to hurt. But the market that we're in right now, insurance companies, like we've been talking about, are seeing higher frequency of claims, and that is leading to them really pulling back. If they have someone come to them and say, okay, I've got, three auto claims in 5 years, they might not want to write your insurance, or they might do it, but it might be way more expensive than what you've been paying. So these days, If I was talking to you and you came to me and told me, okay, I've got a crack in my windshield, we need to replace the windshield, I would say, can you handle that yourself? Is it gonna be a hardship for you to handle it? Because if it's not, I would recommend that you do it yourself at this point. It's gonna be smaller than if your car ran into a tree or your car ran into another car and there was damage. So you kind of want to save your credits up, if you will, in this market. It's only going to benefit you. Now, that said, maybe you're driving a Tesla and the windshield is really expensive, maybe that's something you do want to file a claim for, because it would be detrimental to you financially not to use your insurance. You pay for the insurance. It's your right to use it. We're just here to give you the advice on when. And so lately, for a lot of these smaller claims, Our answer has been, if you can handle it yourself, it might benefit you in the long run to do so.
Because the thing is we don't have a crystal ball. Sure, we could cover this little claim today, but we don't know what's coming tomorrow or what's coming 2 years from now. And that 3 to 5 year window is what an insurance company looks at. So if we can't make it go away, once you turn it in, it's there. That is your permanent record. All the things that were talked about in elementary school, it's your insurance claim history. That's your permanent record.
So. Well, I like that you share that you can provide that education to clients with that discernment, because I do often hear of people who are making these claims, kind of saying like, well, this is what I have the insurance for. And it really is, no, you have the insurance for when that big thing happens. You know, the thing that, you know, the full car accident where your car is totaled, the water damage, all of those different things that are really financially more than inconvenient. They are, you know, financially ruinous for clients. So it sounds like that deductible, the insurance coverage should really be coordinated with their financial planning of
Absolutely.
Talking about what needs to be in their emergency fund to make sure that when something unexpected comes up, like my windshield, that, you know, we've got enough set aside in our immediate cash reserves, our safe slush fund, as we call it, to cover some of those expenses, because I definitely don't want to risk not having that coverage when I need it most. As someone who unfortunately has been dropped by their auto insurance before, I know what a pain that can be.
It can. And we had, you know, I just had a client, when the problems are, so we talked about the three tiers and there's my top tier. Well, I always like to say my bottom is tiers for my problem children. It's when they have a claims problem or a motor vehicle problem or credit problem. That's sometimes where we need to put you. The idea is that as those things age out, we're going to move you back up. And hopefully, you know, in my world, everybody would be with my top four companies, because I'm not going to have problems of any sort there. It's all going to be seamless if there's a claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like one common misconception is how that deductible works and how claims work. What else do you educate your clients on? Do clients come into you with misunderstandings on what their policies are actually going to cover?
All the time, you know, which is fair. It's not a language that the average person is reading every day and having to utilize every day. It is, I say a lot of the time, we are kind of like translators in that way.
Yeah. You know, one fun way to think about this and why we spend so much time with a first-time home buyer is that, let's say, for example, that you have an attached garage and you have two or three cars in that garage, and your house catches on fire. With the direct writers, you're going to pay a deductible on each of those cars and your homeowner's deductible. You could be absorbing $5,000 in deductible on one loss. Most of our companies, same occurrence, one deductible. To the point where if there was a hailstorm that came through and both of your cars are on the road, one's in Sussex and one's downtown, and the same hailstorm damages both of your cars and your house, it's one deductible.
Share with me a little bit on replacement cost. So one of the things we've wondered about in the last couple of years is we've watched this kind of crazy housing market that we've had here in Wisconsin, and it started to come down a little bit. But one concern that we've had is, okay, with inflation and housing prices, if something happened and that house burnt down, do clients have enough coverage that they could get a same house in, you know, in the area they want to be in with their insurance coverage? A policy we reviewed with one of, you know, the larger direct carriers had a cap, and that cap was nowhere close to what the actual value of the house was.
Yeah, that is, again, on the independent agent side, most of our carriers offer something called guaranteed replacement cost. So we do an estimator. We have a couple software programs that we utilize, and I will tell you that Team Atchison gets it back from an underwriter saying that number's wrong less than 1% of time a year. So we're very good at what we do on determining that. But then the special dispensation is that our insurance companies are going to go and inspect your home. Usually it's exterior only, unless it's, you know, in the couple million dollar, they may want to go inside. And then they give it their blessing that they say, yep, that's the right number. And in exchange for them going and doing that, they promise that they will pay an unlimited amount until your home is replaced. Mm-hmm. And they take responsibility for that. One of those direct writers, if you look at the letter that they send you with their renewal, there are five or six places where they say, well, the amount that the house is insured for, that's up to you. You better make sure it's enough. Well, how does a homeowner have any idea? Usually they will talk to us about assessed value. Well, this is what Zillow says. And I'm like, no. Your your deal with the insurance company is that they have to rebuild your home. It's not how much it will sell for. Mm-hmm. It's not how much the city assesses it. We have to put it back. And there's an increased labor cost that's involved because sometimes the whole house isn't demolished. And so the restoration company or the rebuilder has to come in and pick around. It's not like a flat stick-built home, right, where you get to go up. You have to pick around the part that wasn't damaged. And so you do get some increased costs with regard to that. But that really is probably one of the biggest advantages and peace of mind that the insured can have, that takes that stress or that number right out of the way. There's a qualifier, of course. The policy says if you add square footage or you do something that's going to change the replacement cost by more than 5%, you just need to tell us. Hmm. You tell that to the insured. You've planted that seed. I will tell you that once upon a time, I was reading the Sunday Journal, and I had a client in Menominee Falls who had a sweet little small little ranch, and the spread on the front page of the home section of the journal was about this family that did this big addition. The addition was larger than the small little house, and I went, but those are my clients, and they never told me. They never told me they were doing this. So it's kind of funny. We were on the phone immediately.
Well, ladies, we're coming to the end of our time together today. I know we could talk for so much longer, but I've got one closing question for the two of you. So if a policy owner out there, let's say they haven't heard from their agent in a couple of years because they don't work with you ladies, but how often should they be shopping their home and auto insurance?
What an interesting question.
I know you proactively reach out, but let's just say that they work with an agent who isn't and they're not hearing from them. How often should they be making sure they've got the right coverage and nothing's changed?
I think that it's important to be in touch with your insurance agent and discuss those life changes, you know, kind of as they're happening. When you have those big milestones in your life, when you're getting married, when you're buying a house, when you're buying a car, you want to tell your family, you want to tell your friends, you should think to yourself, I want to tell my insurance agent. I just want to make sure that I'm covered the way that I should be.
And I think that if you're having a problem with your insurance, you know it. Somewhere deep down, they're not calling you back. You're not getting the confirmation that you want. You don't understand a bill. I just had somebody called me this week for a quote, and they said, yeah, we're not really happy with the service. They can't explain to me what this $20 bill is for. And I said, I'm not paying it until you tell me what the $20 is for. And they said, well, then they're going to cancel you for non-payment of premium because you didn't pay. And I started laughing. I was like, well, that wasn't the right answer. The right answer is, Mr. Client, I'm going to find out what that is, and then I will call and tell you. Like, that is 101 stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, if you have questions and you're not getting the answers, if it's been a while, it certainly can help. Nobody should be afraid. Nobody should be afraid. If a client calls me and says, Kim, I want to shop, you know, my insurance, we'll do it. And then I'll call back and he said, well, I called a direct writer, and this is what they're doing. And I said, well, all right, send it over here. We have a spreadsheet. We go line by line. It's what we provide when we give quotes to new clients. You send me all of your quotes. I will populate the information into the spreadsheet, and then it's going to make sense to you. Maybe you'll stay with us. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll, who knows? But nobody else does that. I have not seen that by anybody else. But we care enough that we're willing to take the time on the front end to make certain that even the small print, which is sometimes the big things in insurance policy, are addressed.
Well, Kim, MK, thank you so much for being with us today and for educating us on this topic that is very confusing to most of us when it comes to your home and auto insurance. So thank you again for being part of our talk today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
So Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about Ellen Becker Investment Group and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.